as we enter into a new year. Mac read Isaiah 64, verse 8, talking about how God is the potter and we're the clay. And I was searching for someone who knew how to do pottery this week to actually make a pot while I was speaking up here. But then someone said, you know, that would be a big mess. But that's the point, right? Because our lives are messy, right? Our lives are messy, and that's why, I don't know about you, but that's why I need the master potter in my life. I need God. I need God to guide me and direct me. So I wasn't successful in finding a potter, but you just have this image of God being this potter. And what I want to talk about this morning really is not from Isaiah, but this thought of God shaping us to be a people of God as we enter into a new year. And I want to look at Joshua chapter 3 this morning. As I was reading through, along with you, the Bible in 90 days, our church, just in case you're tuning in for the first time, our church has been reading the Bible from cover to cover in 90 days. And a lot of us, we set out to do this and thought, how could we do this? But many of you are successful in that. Maybe some of you might be behind in that a little bit, but you're engaged in God's word, and I'm happy about that. But there's this passage in Joshua chapter 3 that really stood out to me. Because these people in Joshua chapter 3, the Israelites, they're very anxious. God had promised them to bring them into a new land, into a new era, like 2021, right? Into a new time, into the promised land. The previous generation did not get to enter into the promised land because of why? If you're listening, just go ahead and put it in the chat box. Why didn't the previous generation get to enter into the promised land? Just say it out loud, some of you who know. Worshipped other idols? Anything else? Another answer? A rebellion? Lots of different unbelief. They didn't follow the instruction, God's instructions. And so they didn't get to enter. And so now we have this new generation of people. They're standing at the banks of the Jordan River. They can look across. They can see the promised land. And so there's this like eager anticipation, just like us here today, of entering into a new year and hoping for something better. But there's going to be some challenges. There's going to be some challenges for these people. They're looking over there, and they know there's an enemy that's across the river into this promised land. Although God had promised them this land, there's an enemy that's got to be taken that's living in this land. And the other challenge for them is that the Jordan River, man, it was flooding. It was like it was overflowing. It was swollen. And so here they are. How are we going to get across this river? And how are we going to survive in this land that you promised when there's enemies there in our way? And so that's the passage of scripture we're going to be looking at. Mac is going to come and read Joshua chapter 3, 1 through 17, so you can open up your Bibles there as he reads it.
Give you just a second to open up to it if you want to follow along. If you don't have your Bible, you can just listen and I'll read it for you. Starting in verse 1. Early in the morning, Joshua and the Israelites set out for Shittim and went to the Jordan, where they camped before crossing over. After 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp, giving orders to the people. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests, who are the Levites, carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. But keep a distance of about 1,000 yards between you and the ark. Do not go near it. Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. Joshua said to the priests, take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass on ahead of the people. So they took it up and went ahead of them. And the Lord said to Joshua, today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of all Israel, so they know that I am with you as I am with Moses. Tell the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant, when you reach the edge of the Jordan's waters, go and stand in the river. Joshua said to the Israelites, come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God. This is how you will know that the living God is among you, and that he will certainly drive out before you the Canaanites, Hittites, Hivites, Perizzites, and all these other people. See, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth will go into the Jordan ahead of you. Now then, choose 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe. And as soon as the priests who carry the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, set foot in the Jordan, its waters flowing downstream will cut off and stand up in a heap. So when the people broke camp to cross the Jordan, the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. Now the Jordan is at a flood stage all during harvest. Yet as soon as the priests who carried the Ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap a great distance away at a town called Adam in the vicinity of Zarethan. While the water flowing down to the Sea of the Arab, the Salt Sea, was completely cut off. So the people crossed over opposite Jericho. The priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan while all Israel passed by until the whole nation had completely crossed on dry ground.
Thank you, Mac, for reading that this morning. Well, one of the things I feel pretty passionate about as pastor is making people, is helping people feel equipped to follow God, especially during times of crisis. And one of the things that I've noticed during this last year is for a lot of followers of Jesus and just a lot of people that when it comes to a crisis, some haven't handled it okay. And one of the things I think about in my own life when a crisis comes, I think about how deep is my relationship with the Lord. I mean, really, how am I following the Lord? Is my relationship deep enough to where when I come upon a crisis in my life, I'm gonna be okay despite what is going on? And so this morning I want to just give us some ways here from God's Word, and as we go into a new year, to be able to survive some of the challenges that we'll meet. A lot of us, we hope that there aren't any like great big challenges, but there will be. There will be. This is life, right? There's going to be ongoing challenges. And so the first thing, as we cross over into a new year, the first thing I put in our notes is to seek out wise biblical counsel and follow God's word, living according to his strength. I love this. I was talking with one of my kids this last weekend, and they were just saying how, several months ago they really weren't following God, right? But as they began to seek out wise biblical counsel through God's word and some friends, they began to know God more. I thought that is what we need to do, friends. So I want you to notice something here in God's word here in verses 2 and 3. It says, 3 days later, the Israelite officers went through the camp giving these instructions to the people. Right? You'll notice that God in his way appointed leaders, people to give wise biblical counsel and to know what to do. Proverbs 12:15 says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice. Listen to this other one from Proverbs. Proverbs 11:14 says, where there is no guidance, people fall, but in an abundance of counselors, there is safety. You know, this year has kind of isolated us from a lot of people. And I just want to say again, I think I preach it all the time, it is so important that as followers of Jesus that we remain in community. Because when we begin to isolate ourselves from others, that's when things go bad. Remember the previous generation? They died. They did not. They weren't following God. Many of you mentioned out of rebellion. They didn't listen to wise counsel. Remember, they were to listen to Moses, the one God appointed to give this instruction. And they didn't listen to Moses. They went on and did whatever they wanted to do. So this year, make a commitment. Perhaps you make a commitment to yourself to say, you know what, I'm not going to live life alone. I'm going to get myself into a small group. I'm going to get myself into community. I'm going to start coming to church. I'm going to start by keeping in contact with people. I keep in contact with two pastors every week, and it's a relationship where I share the most private things with them. And I've found that to be so helpful in my walk with Jesus. I have another pastor who calls me every Saturday night to pray for me and to pray for our church. He just had his birthday on Christmas. I think he's over 80 now. And he prays for you. He prays for this church, and he prays for me. But it's so important to be in community and to take wise biblical counsel. I wanted to read you a testimony from Jerry Anderson, who goes to our church. He's at home watching online this morning. But I want you to hear his testimony this morning. He typed it out so I could read it. He said this. He says, before I became a Christian and started following God's word, I followed the word of the world. I would look to others for advice. I would spend hours upon hours online trying to figure out how to live my life. The problem with doing that is 90% of the advice I received was wrong and destructive. That led me down some very dark and lonely paths. The more information I gathered, the deeper I went on a self-destructive path, and the farther I moved away from positive relationships. This worldly advice led me to believe that I was in control of my own life, that I was my own God, and that the world owed me something. But when I made the choice to stop trying to figure everything out on my own and start asking God for advice, my life made a dramatic turn for the good. But asking the Lord for advice won't do you any good unless you follow that advice. And that was another lesson I had to learn on my own. In the beginning, I didn't like some of the answers I was getting, so I would take things that the internet told me and mix them with what I was getting from God. That doesn't work either. You can't have both. That is why we need to seek out wise biblical counsel and then actually follow that advice and listen to what the Lord is telling us. Had I kept listening to myself of what the world had to say, I wouldn't be here today. I wouldn't have had a loving, God-filled relationship with my family. I wouldn't have made so many new positive relationships within the church. I would still be alone in a destructive relationship, and very possibly spending the rest of my life in prison. But because I had made the choice to listen to my family and friends who cared about me and stop trying to figure things out on my own and made the choice to start listening to the Lord, I'm not spending the rest of my life in prison. I'm here surrounded by my friends and family who love and support me, and I have a new outlook on life filled with the love, compassion, and grace that only the Lord Jesus can provide. And for that, I'm truly grateful. Wow, isn't that amazing? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And here's the thing. Jerry is growing in his relationship with the Lord as he's chosen to listen to wise biblical counsel and continue to meet with others. And he's going to be actually preaching this month here in this church. And just amazing things happen when we put ourselves in community, listen to wise biblical counsel. Amen? I want to just encourage you to commit to that in a deeper way this year. The second thing, as we cross into a new year, I want to encourage you to cultivate a habit of waiting on the Lord. Cultivate a habit of waiting on the Lord. Look at verse 4. It says, since you have never traveled this way before, they will guide you. Talking about these godly leaders that God had put in place. They will guide you. But underline that verse there. It says, since you've never traveled this way before. Have any of you traveled into the 2021? Unless you're like, I don't know, Back to the Future or some kind of a... No, we have not gone there. We don't know the way. We have never traveled this way. Like the Israelites, eager, you know, desiring to go into the promised land. They've not been on this route. We have not been on this route. We have no idea what is going to happen. As I said, they didn't know what's going to happen. The river is before them. It's flooding, and they need help. They need direction. James 4:14 says, "You do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes." We have no idea what's going to happen. And so I want to encourage you to wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. In this passage of scripture that Mac read, there's this phrase that's mentioned several times, the Ark of the Covenant. It's mentioned like 8 or 9 times, so, you know, when something's repeated in scripture, that must be pretty darn important. And the Ark of the Covenant is mentioned there. Some of us may not know what that Ark of the Covenant means. Some of you do. But if you remember, God had made a covenant, a promise with the Israelites. He said, "I'm going to be your God. I'm going to be good to you. But you have got to obey. You have got to obey me." And so God asked them, the Israelites, to make this box called the Ark of the Covenant. And there's all these details about it in Scripture. But inside this box was the Ten Commandments. You know, have you seen on a movie, Moses and the Ten Commandments? So inside that box was the Ten Commandments. And the Ark was to be placed, the Ark of the Covenant was to be placed in the tabernacle, and then soon the temple in the New Testament, in the Holy of Holies. And it represented the presence of God. In fact, on the top, the top of the Ark of the Covenant is known as the mercy seat, where sacrifices were made, where sin was atoned for. And as I said, it represented the presence of God. And they're carrying this across the Jordan River. And so as they're carrying the Ark of the Covenant across the Jordan River, they are reminded of the presence of God. And if they're going to get across this river, guess what? It's not going to be on their own strength, their own power. Guess what it's going to be? It's going to be the power of God. It's not going to be in their own strength. If they're going to get across the river and enter into this new land where there's the enemy, and if they're going to overtake this enemy, guess what? It's not going to be because of their intelligence or their power. It's going to be because of a miracle, of the victory of God. And so they're reminded of that. As they carry the Ark of the Covenant, they are reminded of the presence and the power of God. And so as we enter into this new year, we've got to be reminded of that. We've got to be reminded of the presence of God that's with us. We have to be reminded of His power that is with us. Since we don't know the way, friends, we've got to remember that. And we've got to wait on the Lord and experience His life living in us and through us. And as I said in that note, we've got to cultivate some habits that will help us understand and remember his power and strength. Isaiah 40, verse 31, one of my favorite scriptures says, "But those who wait upon the Lord will get new strength." How many of you need new strength in 2021? Only a few hands, but I know I need it. And all of us need that. "They will rise up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weak." None of us like to wait. None of us like to wait around very, very, very much. We don't like to wait in line. We want things to be fast. There's that phrase here in America that time is money, so hurry it up, right? None of us like to wait. But I want to encourage you in this new year to wait for the Lord. Wait on His presence. I heard this illustration with this scripture in Isaiah that I just read. It said, "Did you know that an eagle knows when a storm is approaching long before it breaks? The eagle will fly to a high spot and wait for the winds to come. When the storm hits, it sets its wings so that the wind will pick it up and lift it above the storm." Have you ever seen that happen to an eagle? Kind of just lifts. While the storm rages below, the eagle is soaring above it. The eagle does not escape the storm. It simply uses the storm to lift it higher. It rises on the winds that bring the storm. And friends, when the storm of life comes, when there's a new storm in 2021, we can actually rise above it with God being our helper, relying on His strength and His power in the storm. But as we walk through that storm, friends, there's some habits that I would encourage you to lean into deeper this year. And some of those habits include, they're not new ones for us, but maybe some you haven't practiced for a while. One is a consistent prayer time with the Lord. I'm not too sure how we rise above the storm when we don't have a consistent prayer time with the Lord, a consistent relationship. I pray, many of you know, I pray with Sue Johnson every week in our church, and she has a specific place in her home where she prays every day. Another habit to cultivate is a consistent time of fasting. There's a thing in my life that I'm praying about right now, and I'm choosing to fast one day a week where I am just so focused on this thing with the Lord and devoting that time where I could be like chowing down and eating what I like to do. I'm saying, Lord, I need to hear Your voice. I so desperately need to hear Your voice in this matter. I want to encourage you to have a consistent time of reading God's Word. As a church, we've been engaged in reading the Bible, and many of you have now established that habit. Don't stop there. Continue into the new year with God's Word. Have a consistent time of being in godly relationships with other people, right? Jesus said to love God and love others, and if we're not in relationships with one another, how can we love and serve one another? As one pastor says, you can't one another yourself. You've got to be in godly relationships with others to do that. And then I would also say just a consistent time of enjoying everything that God has made. Right? Getting outside into His creation and praising God and enjoying all the gifts that He has given us. Cultivate some of those habits as you get into the new year to be able to weather some of these storms. Now, these habits are also called spiritual disciplines. And some of you know that phrase, spiritual disciplines. And these spiritual disciplines are so vitally important. Because Jesus said, He said, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come so that you might have abundant life or life to the full. And the way to have life to the full is through these spiritual disciplines, to practice these things. 1 Timothy 4:7 says this. Maybe it's something you can memorize or take into the new year. It says, do not waste time arguing over godless ideas and old wives' tales. Instead, train yourself to be godly. Right? That's why they're called spiritual disciplines, because we have to work at it. We have to work at those things. And you can't get better unless you work at some of those things. So the third thing I want to talk about this morning as we go into the new year is to give yourself more fully to the Lord. Give yourself more fully to the Lord. Look at verse 5. It says, then Joshua told the people, purify yourselves. Or another translation that you have might say, consecrate yourselves. For tomorrow the Lord will do great wonders among you. For the Israelites, purifying themselves meant taking a bath. It meant changing their clothes. It meant abstaining from some things that they were doing to draw their attention solely on God. And there was a need for them to do this so that they would be in the kind of the right frame of mind when God was about to do something great among them. And I began to think about that. What does that look like in our lives? I mean, how do we purify ourselves? I mean, how do we do that? Because we know that we can't fully do that because Jesus has already done that. Amen? On the cross, His blood has purified us and cleansed us from all unrighteousness. But how do we cleanse ourselves? How do we purify ourselves? How many of you remember that when you were young, and some of you are still little, when your parents tell you, man, you are dirty, you stink, go take a bath. You remember that. And then you come out of your bath and you're like, okay, go do it again. This time use soap. Do that again. True story. I won't say who it is because then I owe them money. But soap gets us clean. And I think there's some things in our lives that God has given us to help us. To help us to purify ourselves. First, 1 John 1:7 says, we live in the light as he is in the light. We share what we have, or we have fellowship with God and with each other. And the blood of Jesus, his son, makes our lives clean from all sin. So clearly this is a work of God, right? It's his blood, his sacrifice that's cleaned us. But also, just a few verses down there, 1 John 1:9, it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. So yes, God has cleaned us and purified us, but there's this thing called confession, this agreeing with God about our sin. And so purifying ourselves or consecrating ourselves, giving ourselves fully to God, involves confession. It does. It involves confession, admitting that you have sinned, and then accepting God's grace and his sacrifice on the cross. Romans 12:1 says, and so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you, give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. And so in this new year, give yourself fully to the Lord. Consecrate yourself for him. Purify yourself by accepting this forgiveness of your sins, this sacrifice. And then the response is to give yourself in worship to God. Make it a habit in your life this year of taking yourself off the throne. We're people who like to, you know, place ourselves on the throne, but give God veto power in your life in this new year, and consecrate yourself to him in that way. And I really believe as we do that, when there's another storm that comes, as we give ourselves fully to the Lord, it's not going to rock us. If we're intentionally, you know, waking up every morning and saying, God, I give you, I place my life before you. And as we do this, guess what happens, friends? God transforms our minds and puts us in the right frame of mind to be able to see the wonder-working power of God in our lives. I think that some of us have problems in our walk with God or just in life because we're simply not consecrating ourselves to God. We're not giving ourselves fully to God. And we're saying, how come God is not doing this stuff for me? How come we're not seeing this? Well, it's because we're not in the right frame of mind to even see what God is doing among us. And so let's give ourselves to the Lord in perhaps a new way this year. Let's look at verses 16 through 13 here. As we cross into a new year, trust God in his promises. It says, in the morning, Joshua said to the priests, lift up the ark of the covenant and lead the people across the river. And so they started out and went ahead of the people. And the Lord told Joshua, today I will begin to make you a great leader in the eyes of all Israelites. They will know that I am with you just as I was with Moses. Give this command to the priests who carry the ark of the covenant. When you reach the banks of the Jordan River, take a few steps in to the river and stop there. Let me just stop there for right now. Did you see verse 8? Verse 8 says, when they got to the river, he said, take a few steps into the river and then just stop there. Remember that this river is swollen. I mean, it's overflowing. And God wants them to just take some steps in there and just stop. There's this sense in which they have just got to trust God. They have just got to trust God here and His promise and His covenant to be with them. Now, I want to stop here just for a moment and kind of connect the two of consecrating yourself and trusting with God. We don't give ourselves and consecrate ourselves to the Lord out of a works-based mentality. We don't do that just to say, okay, now God, now you need to deliver. We give ourselves to the Lord because of what He's done for us, and because we love Him. But we also give ourselves to the Lord because we're going to trust Him. And so that when you come to a swollen river in 2021, you can put your feet in the river and say, you know what? I can trust God because I've given my life to God. I've given everything to God. And when that river is swollen, I'm going to be okay because I remember His promise to never leave me. I remember His promise to always be with me. And so I'm going to be okay. When the river is high this year, friends, when the river is swollen, trust in God in remembering His promise to you. The fifth thing this morning before we take communion is this. As we cross over into a new year, put your faith into action. Look at verses 14 through 17. It says, so the people left their camp to cross the Jordan, and the priests who were carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. It was the harvest season, and the Jordan was overflowing its banks. But as soon as the feet of the priests who were carrying the ark touched the water at the river's edge, the water above that point began backing up a great distance away at a town called Adam, which is near Zarethan. And the water below that point flowed onto the Dead Sea until the riverbed was dry. Then all the people crossed over near the town of Jericho. Meanwhile, the priests who were carrying the Ark of the Lord's Covenant stood on dry ground in the middle of the riverbed as the people passed by. They waited there until the whole nation of Israel had crossed the Jordan on dry ground. I mean, this was an amazing miracle. We're not talking just a few people gathered together like we are this morning. We're talking about 2,000 people here, friends, who experienced this miracle. Now, some people, if you read about this miracle, some people debate, like, oh, no, this could never happen. The sea, the water, this river could not part, and it couldn't dam up for 2,000 people to get across. That could not happen. And many people just say, well, this is not true. And so whatever you believe, just believe this. This is an act of God, something that you can't explain. And we can't explain it. When the power of God comes, how many of you can fully explain that to people when the power of God has come on your life? It's hard to even explain. And so the river parts. It parts in a way that they're able to walk across on dry land. But did you notice in verse 15 that the water doesn't part until they put their feet in the river? They had to trust God. They had to trust Him and believe in Him, but then they had to put their trust, their faith, into action before the water actually parted. None of us want to do that. None of us, when we see a river like this, you know, we want to try to find a way around it. In fact, yesterday as I was sliding down this road, I began to think, is there another way around? Can I get around? But we've got to just simply trust the Lord. He tells us to put our feet in. And we've got to have faith, and oftentimes faith is stepping out even when we can't see, right? Isn't that what the scripture tells us? Do we walk by sight? And walk by faith. James 2:17 says, a faith that does not do things is a dead faith. And there were some remarkable results, friends. As they began to step their feet into this river, it parts, and 2 million people witness the power of God. Do you think that lift their spirits some? I mean, what would it be like for this church to take a risk this year? Would you be praying about how this church can make a significant impact in this, in our town? What would it be like if we did that? What would happen if we took a significant risk like they did? Some amazing results happened. They witnessed the power of God in which they probably had not seen before. Man, may we do that this year, friends. May you do that in your family's life and how you follow the Lord. And may we do that collectively as a body of Christ to take a risk for the Lord. And I would have you be praying about that. If God lays something on your heart, says, you know what, we need to do this. We need to move in this direction this year as a church. Whatever that may look like. Maybe it's reaching out in a new way that we have not done before. And I know, friends, when we trust the Lord in that and take a risk like that, let's get prepared to see the wonder-working power of the Lord. Amen? The other result that they saw was the enemy on the other side of the river was terrified. Right? They saw the water backing up. They hadn't seen that act of God before. And they're terrified. And so now they're getting weak, and so they know that they are in trouble. Here comes the Israelites, here comes God's people, and they're coming. And they've got God on their side. This amazing thing has happened. The other positive result from this miracle of God is it encouraged them. Because they knew that the enemy was over there. They knew the enemy was in the other in the land. And they knew that because the power of God was with them in this way, they walk across dry land when the water was there, that anything that they came up upon, friends, that they could handle. Because they had the power of God on their side. So as we come to a new year, friends, I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you just to lean deeper into God this year. Seek out wise biblical counsel. Put yourself in relationships with other people in our church. If you would want to meet with myself or with Mac, see, you know what? I want to be in a relationship with you so that I could follow God in a deeper way. And I want to be held accountable to things. Now, I love doing that with people. Just so you know, I love doing that. I want to encourage you to wait on the Lord and cultivate these new spiritual disciplines in your life. To continue reading God's word, to continue having a dedicated time and space of prayer. And then, friends, trust God, but not only trust God, but then take some faithful steps. Don't just believe in God, take some action and trust God. Take a risk for God in a new way. Let me pray, and then I'm going to invite Jen and Curtis to come up, and we're going to take a time of a communion here together. Lord God, we love you. And God, I thank you that you've given us these tools, these disciplines, or this soap. Of course, your soap is that makes us clean is your sacrifice on the cross. But Lord, you've given us these other things, these tools to know you more. And Lord, I pray for everyone here and listening, Lord, this morning. Lord, I pray that you would help us as we come to a Jordan River in our lives. Lord, I pray that what we have spoken to you about in private, in prayer, Lord, you would see that worked out in the way we follow you. Lord, you would give us strength and we would see the power of God in our own lives as we follow you in a new way this year. Lord, thank you for your promise to be with us. Develop us into more mature Christians as we come across another crisis in our life, that we would be able to survive, not just survive, but to thrive with you. Lord, I pray that you would answer each prayer upon everyone's heart this morning. Lord, as you have spoken to hearts this morning, Lord, perhaps you're calling us to commit to some different things this morning that we can take into the new year. Would you give each person power and strength to stay true to what they've committed to you about this morning? In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We are going to take communion together as we go into this new year. They're going to sing a song, and the words will be up on the screen. I just encourage you to reflect, have a quiet time of reflecting with the Lord and reading the lyrics on the screen. But as we take communion this morning, it's a time for us to look back. It's time for us to look back on the suffering of Christ on the cross. It's also a time for us to look within, cleansing in our own life. And I talked about it, how 1 John 1:9 says that he's faithful and just to cleanse us and to purify us from all unrighteousness. And so we look within and we seek cleansing and saying, Lord God, forgive me. I want to walk in a new way today. And then it's also a time for us to look ahead. Right? We spent this last month waiting to celebrate Christmas and remembering when Christ was born. But we also continue this longing for Christ in his second coming. And so it's a time to look back. It's a time for us to look within. It's a time for us to look forward to Christ coming again. And so let's just spend a few quiet moments here as